hospital at 5 o'clock Tuesday morning. I didn't know there were 2 5 o'clocks in the day. I'm just kidding, okay? Some of you didn't know that, but there actually is. I saw it one time when I woke up in the middle of the night to get something to drink and went back to bed. But that means they got to get up about 2 to get to the hospital Tuesday morning. And so you pray for him as he has that surgery, that God would be with him and bless him. It's good to see Miss Chastity slip in tonight. Appreciate her being here, and appreciate everybody being faithful in the house of the Lord this evening. I hope you have a good, I know most everybody's got tomorrow off, except for Eric. I think Carolyn's going to work him tomorrow, and he ain't been doing anything around the house the last 4 or 5 months. He's got a bathroom that needs to be remodeled. He's shaking his head over there. But I hope everybody has a good day tomorrow. And, of course, this is the Lord's Day, but tomorrow's Memorial Day. And we, of course, thank God for those who have given their life so we might have the freedom to worship here today. And we thank God for that. And I hope you have a good day tomorrow with your family and whatever responsibilities and plans that you have. Malachi chapter 2, and we're going to pick up tonight in verse number 1. I wrote it wrong in the bulletin. I wrote that we was going to be in verses 1 through 10. We're actually verses 1 through 9. I wrote that down wrong when I sent it to Miss Linda, and then she forwarded to Miss Delina for today's bulletin. And I'll say this, I appreciate these ladies working on the bulletins, and I appreciate Miss Linda. These outlines that you get printed out, she goes through them and edits them and proofreads them for me. See, she can't proofread what I say, but she can proofread what I write, and to make me sound smarter. But looks and sounds can be deceiving sometimes, but well, I'm glad you woke up to join us. Well, you got me this morning, but always remember I have the microphone. I appreciate all she does, and that is a blessing. I've got her editing outlines and editing chapters for books, and then she does at least 3 outlines a week. I felt so bad Wednesday. I had this outline all done, and she had edited it, and then Wednesday morning, God put something else on my heart. And so she came in Wednesday, and I said, "Miss Linda, God changed my message." She said, "Oh, that's fine." I said, "Well, I wasn't going to throw that on you at the last minute, but I appreciate all she does. And I hope you like the outlines. I hope it helps you to follow along. I know sometimes you don't get all the fill in the blanks, but we try to do the best we can." Tonight's message, in verse number 1, he says, "And now, O ye priests," he's talking to the religious leaders in the nation, and he's particularly talking to religious leaders there in the temple. And basically, this context, he's talking to what we would say the preachers, those that lead the people in worship. So I'm going to let me have it tonight. How about that? But I read this morning in Revelation chapter 1, when you got saved, God made you a king and a priest. So we all going to get it tonight, all right? But let's look at this tonight, Malachi chapter 2. Ain't it funny, we're in the last book of the Old Testament and the last book of the New Testament. This is not going to be confusing at all right? Malachi chapter 2, verse 1. "And now, O ye priests," this suggestion, that's what they were treating it as, "this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and will spread dung on your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law." The book of Malachi, as we have stated, and I like preaching through books of the Bible and trying to just dig in. The reason being, if I have a tendency, all preachers have a tendency, if we don't have some structure to ride the hobby horses and preach on the same subjects all the time and just kind of say the same thing over and over again, which there's nothing wrong with that. Paul did that. But I want God to deal with us where we need him. We got revival meeting coming up, and I think Malachi is a great book to preach through because it talks about honoring God through godly lives. And the book of Malachi, as we said at the beginning of this series, Malachi's message was against the sins of the saints. And as Warren Wiersbe said, that lady come up to that preacher after he preached a message on the sins of the saints, and she said, "I don't know why you preached that sermon. There is a difference between the sins of a lost person and the sins of a saved person." That preacher said, "Yes, ma'am, you're correct. The sins of a saved person are worse because they are sinning against truth. They are sinning against life." And I'll be honest with you tonight, we all struggle in this area. And the context we picked up last week, these priests had led the people in being half-hearted in their worship. They were not giving God their very best. I want to commend the choir. You sung good today. And the congregation, I appreciate you singing today. That wasn't meant to scold you last week, but that's to remind us all, I need to be a better preacher. I need to do better in preparing and presenting God's word. But we also need to come in and not treat it like a performance, but we want to do our very best to please the Lord. And so we dealt with that thought last week, and now he's continuing this thought in chapter 2. You know, the chapter and verse divisions, when the Bible was written, Malachi didn't write chapter 1, verse 1. He wrote one long message or one long book without chapter and verse divisions. But thank God, God used some people later on to put the chapter and verse divisions in our Bible for the sake of convenience. But we don't need to think that just because chapter 1's ended that the thought ends. It continues with that little connecting word, "and." "And now, O priest, this commandment is for you." Malachi is addressing these priests because they are the leaders of the nation religiously, and the reason that the people of God are going astray from God is because, can I say it in our terminology, they're preachers are not right with God. Their priests are not right with God. Malachi is giving a call in these verses through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and I want to preach on it tonight, a call to repentance. Now, when I got saved, I repented. Can I get amen out of that? You may hear some more this Wednesday night. The Lord keeps us in the direction that I feel like he's going to put us in for Wednesday. When I got saved, I repented. Now, what is repentance? It is a turning away from something and turning to someone. Turning away from your sin and turning to the Lord. But Billy Mitchell put it like this: the way I know I repented when I got saved is because I'm still repenting. Amen. I'm still turning from sin. And I want to remind you, when I got saved, I turned from being a sinner. But after I've got saved, the Holy Ghost of God, he is going to convict me about sins, individual sins in my life that hinder my fellowship and my walk with the Lord. Anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? How many of you fellas that are married can walk in the house and know in 30 seconds or less, things are not good in Camelot? Me and William and Dominic are the only brave men in the building. And they're braver than I am because I'm about 25 feet from my wife. I mean, we can just walk in and go, "Ooh, this is not good." And so me being who I am, I don't like any friction. I don't want anything like that. And so I do something my wife hates. "Everything okay?" And then she answers with that wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. "Anything wrong?" Mm-mm. "Did I do something?" Mm-mm. "Did I not do something that I was supposed to do?" Mm-mm. "Did I do something in one of your dreams that I'm not aware of?" How many of you men have gotten in trouble because something you did in your wife's dream? Oh, yes. All right, it's just how it is. But you can walk in and tell something ain't right. And so, you know what you want to do as a husband? You want to get it right. You want to make sure that things are right. That most of the time I did or did not. Most of the time, we need to pray for my wife because she lies a lot. Because I said something wrong. Mm-mm. Well, that's a lie. There is something wrong. And did I do something? Nope. Did I not do something? Nope. That's a lie too. I mean, it's usually my fault. If we learn these men, you know, "Forgive me, honey, for I have sinned," you know, and just leave it like that, our lives would be better. Well, we're already having revival or right one, and they both sound like fun. But I wish that I was that sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I wish when I sensed he wasn't too happy with me, I'd be, did I do something? Did I not? Oh, by the way, we usually don't have to ask, did I do or did I not do something? We know, even with our wives, we know she found out I didn't take out the trash. Time out. How many of you men, your wife takes out the trash the way my wife does? Takes it out of the trash can and puts it next to the back door. I'm like, honey, you know, can't you put it in the trash? No, she can't. She can't do it. I mean, when I'm going for a meeting, there's five bags. When I'm going for a meeting, the trash is in the trash can. I'm like, you can do it when I'm out of the state. You can't do it when I'm out of the room. But anyway, y'all pray for me. I really need some help in my marriage, all right? My point tonight is I wish I was that sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That when I knew something wasn't right in my heart, I was saying, hey, is everything okay? Did I do something? What did I do? But you know what, sadly, what we do with God? We just go on and go on and go on like nothing's happening. And here's what God is using Malachi's message. He has given a call to repentance. Notice that text tonight. First of all, a sovereign command. Look at verse number 2. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts. God's given a command. He wanted them to do 3 things in this verse. First of all, he wanted them, very simple, he wanted them to hear. But watch what he says. If you will not hear. Now, that little phrase, if you will not hear, indicates that he had sent a messenger with a message to them. But you know what they said? We don't want to hear it. I wonder, and I'm not talking about our church tonight, but many of you have come from other churches, you've been in church for a while. I wonder how many times God sent a preacher to a church, and you can, some of you can raise your hand and testify, and that church, they just wanted somebody to fill the pulpit 3 times a week and visit the sick and bury the dead and marry the foolish, but they didn't want a word from God. You know what I'm talking about? And what they did not want to receive preaching. They didn't want to receive truth. I mean, God sent them a man, but they didn't want to hear him. I'm telling you tonight, God sends us a word every day in his Bible. Are we going to hear it? You know, we're teaching through Revelation on Sunday mornings, and Lord willing, in a couple weeks, we'll get to Revelation 2 and 3, those 7 churches. And you know what he says to every one of them? If any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. Let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. Now, we're not talking about just the physical ear tonight, but we're talking about letting God speak to your heart. You know what my prayer is about our revival meeting upcoming? I love Brother McBride. He's one of the finest preachers in the country. But if he just comes in and preaches 4 nights and we don't do anything with it, we've wasted his time, and we've wasted your time, and we've wasted my time, and we've wasted money. But I tell you, I want God to do something special in our hearts in these days. But you want to do? God's sending us a messenger, is he not? God's sending us a preacher. But we got to hear. And it's not necessarily hearing Brother McBride or hearing Brother Shelton or hearing me, but it is hearing what thus saith the Lord. He wanted them to hear. Then secondly, watch what he said. He wanted them to heed. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart. You know, a lot of people, they hear the preaching, and they'll say, boy, amen, that's right. But they don't lay it to heart. Can I say it like this? They don't do anything with it. They have what I call bobblehead religion. Now, me and the boys know what bobblehead dolls are. They're them things we get at the Braves game that everything breaks before you get home. I mean, they make them out of the... We was watching the Braves game last night, and they had a bobblehead night, and they showed this kid in the stands holding this bobblehead he got an hour ago, and the arms already broke off. And they panned the camera away real quick, like, oh, he wasn't supposed to see that. But then bobblehead dolls, you tap them on the head, and they just nod. I had a preacher growing up that he used to preach at his church, Brother Nesbitt Odom. He actually led my day to the Lord, and he's still pastoring and preaching today. But he would be preaching, and he would always say, nod your head up and down, and they started getting him bobblehead dolls. And he put a little bobblehead dog on the pulpit while he was preaching, and he'd preach something hard, and nobody would say, man, he'd tap that dog on the head and say, ain't that right? And that dog would go. It got to be so funny with him. Every birthday, every anniversary, everything, they'd give him bobblehead dogs. One of the men in his church built him a doghouse on the platform to put all his bobblehead dogs in. And every service, he'd get a different one and put on the pulpit. But you know what? That bobblehead dog nods its head like it agrees, but it ain't getting anything. If we're not careful, we'll be like that bobblehead dog. We'll nod our little Baptist head up and down. But we're not hiding God's word in our heart. And we're not laying our... You know, we'll say, I agree with that. That's right. And I'll be honest with you. There's probably very few things that will get preached from this pulpit, from this Bible, that you don't agree with. You come to this church because you believe it's a Bible-believing church. Can I get amen out of that? And so we try to preach the Bible. So we agree with what's being said. But do we take heed to it? We know this is wrong, but are we just
bobblehead dolls, nodding their head up and down. He wanted them to hear. He wanted them to heed. He wanted them to honor and to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, how do we give glory to the Lord's name? Well, we sing. I would agree with that. We worship. I'd agree with that. We say amen. We say praise God. Hallelujah. I agree with all that. But you know how you give glory to God's name in this verse? You hear and you heed. Jesus will say it like this in John 14. If ye love me, you'll keep my commandments. You know how to give glory to his name? Obedience. Being obedient to what God speaks to you about and to what God speaks to me about. He wanted them a sovereign command. But notice in the latter part of verse 2 through verse number 4, there is a sent curse. Now, let's read the verse in its full grammatical setting. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory to my name, said the Lord of hosts, here's what God's going to do. This is scary right here, folks. I will even send a curse upon you. This curse was promised, and I will curse your blessings. Whoa. You're going to curse my blessings? Now, we like to sing, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me, and I have so much to thank you for, and we ought to sing that, and we all be thankful for our blessings. But you know what Israel had done? They had become more in love with their blessings than the blesser. That's that crowd that went out on the lake today on Sunday and enjoyed the blessings of God's creation instead of being in God's house. That's that crowd that they enjoyed the blessings of God's good air he's given us to breathe, but they never lift their voice to praise God or give God any thanks or appreciation. See what God, that word curse there, when I think of a curse, you know, you're thinking of some guy in a black suit with a wand going, you know, I curse you or whatever. But the word curse here means to utter a wish of evil against one, to call mischief or injury. This was not the first time God told his people in Deuteronomy 28:15 that if they got in that land and forgot him, that he would curse the land. That land that flowed with milk and honey, God said, I'll curse it. He said, I'll curse your blessings, the very things that God had blessed them with, because we know that every good gift, every perfect gift coming from God. Can I get amen out of that? But when we put those blessings in front of God, God said, okay, if you're going to have something between me and you, then I'm going to remove that thing that's between me and you. I tell you, that's stout right there, folks. The blessings of God, I wrote this down, the blessings of God can be an idol in our life. Do you know this church can be an idol, this building? These pews? You know, we can be an idol to one another. We can lift up one another, brag on one another. And make it, and the blessings, and you know what? Our fellowship is a blessing. This building is a blessing. The padded pews are a blessing. At the end of the day, there are churches across the world tonight. They're meeting under a grass hut. They're meeting under a tree somewhere, and they have more joy and have more contentment, and they love God. Why? Because they're not in love with their blessings. They don't have any. In our mindset, They don't have a $30,000 sound system and lights and sheetrock, and they don't have a pulpit, and their pastors are not preaching out of a Bible that has been recovered with river grain goat skin and preaching off an iPad with digital technology and wearing Johnston Murphy's and a Joseph A. Banks suit. They're standing out there with a little piece of a page of a Bible that they've been handed down to the villages. But what they do? They sing and they worship and they thank God. But here we are in America, and we have been overeaten with the blessings of God. And I thank God for all of them. I thank God for what he's given me tonight. There's $1 million worth of vehicles in the parking lot tonight. We have over $1 million plus amount of property and buildings here tonight in this economy, and this market is that high. And I tell you, we have all these things, but yet we don't worship. We don't have a spirit of gratitude. We don't have a spirit of thanksgiving. Maybe we need to go have church under a tree for a few weeks. May God help us. This is a call to repentance. God said, if you're going to put those things in front of me, then I'm going to curse those blessings. This curse was promised. This curse was present. Yea, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. They didn't recognize it, but God had already cursed those blessings. This curse was promised. This curse was present. This curse was public. Verse 3. Behold, I will corrupt your seed. What does that little phrase, corrupt your seed, mean? Several times, God has already warned in the Old Testament that he would visit the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. He said, I'm going to tell you right now. I know he's talking to Israel, but the application still to us. He said, I'll tell you right now, Israel, if you don't repent, if you don't lay it to heart, if you don't obey, I'm going to curse your blessings, and your children and your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren are going to suffer for it. Boy, I'd hate to know that things I'm doing today are going to affect my children in 20 years. That's why he's given a call to repentance, affect my grandchildren years down the road. Then notice this next phrase, and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast. Do you need a biblical explanation of what that's talking about? Those animal sacrifices, them animals before they were sacrificed, did what animals do. Are y'all getting me? And God said, I'm going to take their waste and spread it in your face because you won't obey me. That's pretty tough right there. I'm gonna make it public. And one shall take you away with it. I'm not trying to be crude or rude tonight or turn anybody's stomachs, but they had people. Can I put it this way? Their job was to clean out the stalls because them animals leave some things behind. Some of y'all, nod your head like a bobblehead doll. Let me know you know what I'm talking about because I don't know how to explain this anymore without getting nasty, okay? And they'd have to haul that stuff out. And God said, here's what I think of the way you're living right now. I'm going to spread that stuff in your face, and I'm going to let somebody haul you out with it because that's what I think of your worship right now. That's pretty stout right there. Because you won't hear, and you won't heed, and you won't honor me. What you are to me is animal waste. And I'm telling you, we've been so guilty. This church has been so blessed over the years. Everybody comes to this church. We all have a beautiful church. And we do. To God be the glory. But this church is not sheetrock and stained glass. It's not about our blessings. It's not about what we have. It's about the Lord. Notice in verse 4, and ye shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Notice not only a sovereign command and a sent curse. Number 3, a spoken covenant. In the next five, in these next verses, verses 5, 6, and 7, God explains his covenant they made with the tribe of Levi. See, God, you know, the tribe of Levi, that's who Moses and Aaron, that's what their daddy was of that tribe of Levi. Notice the purpose in verse 5. My covenant was with him, Levi, of life and peace, and I gave them to him for fear. Where would he fear me when he was afraid before my name? Now, there were how many tribes in Israel? Somebody tell me. 12. Now, God's going to select one tribe, and you, there may be somebody here that's not heard this before, so I'm not trying to insult you or just remind you tonight, but God chose one tribe to be over the service in the temple. It was the tribe of Levi. Levi was to be over the tribes. Now, over the temple work and the labor. Every priest would be of the tribe of Levi, except for the great high priest. That was the tribe of Judah. Ain't that amazing how that worked? Amen. Jesus was that great high priest. But every tribe of the Levi would work in that priestly duty. You know how God selected Levi? Brother McBride preached this, and I believe it's right. Remember in Exodus 32, Moses up there on the mountain getting 2 iPads from God? Well, he's getting 2 tablets. I guess it was iPads. It might have been Kindle Fires. I'm not sure. I do not know. But he's up there getting the law of God. And what do the Israelites do down there? They get tired of waiting on Moses, so they tell Aaron, he said, up, make us gods. As for this Moses, we don't want what's become of him. So what does Aaron do? I love that story. Aaron said, bring me your gold. So they bring all the gold. And the Bible said Aaron fashioned it, put it in that fire and fashioned it, and he fashioned to a calf, and the calf came out. Moses comes down off the mountain and throws the tablets down. Talk about somebody that did not have temperance, okay? He did not have temperance. He was a meek man, but he was not a patient man. He threw those tablets down and looks at Aaron looking for an explanation. If it wasn't in the Bible, I wouldn't believe it. Here's what Aaron said. The people made me, and I'm paraphrasing, here's what he said. I put the gold in the fire, and out came this calf. He never admitted that he's the one that fashioned it. I mean, it just so happened. Most of you ain't going to believe this. I put that gold in the fire and a calf walked out. Ain't that crazy? I don't think Moses bought that. If my brother told me that story, I'm like, no. There ain't no way that happened. So you know what God told Moses to do? God told Moses, you need to draw a line in the sand, theoretically. He drew that line in the sand. So who's on the Lord's side? You know who's the first tribe that stepped over that line? Levi. And I believe that was when God said, okay, since you have rejected idolatry for me, I'm going to let you work in my temple. So, here I said all that to say this. Levi's made the right choice before. Can I say this tonight? If you're saved tonight, you've made the right choice before. You've chosen the Lord. You have rejected. You have repented before. Amen. It's time to get back on the other side. I'm afraid we have, that line's been drawn in the sand. Boy, we crossed it. But you know what's happened? We've kind of prone to wander and got back over on that line. Notice the purity in verse 6. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, did not turn many away from iniquity. Here's what he's saying. Levi's not perfect, but he was a beacon of light. He was a testimony. People would come to the tribe of Levi there in the temple, and God would use the tribe of Levi to turn people to God. You've been saved. And God used you through your missions given, through giving a gospel tract, through a testimony to be a light and be a testimony to somebody else. Notice the principle. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge. They should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. He said, I wanted Levi to do all these things. But last of all, notice in verse 8 and 9, the sinful conduct. God said, I had all these plans for Levi. And he done it for a while, but watch what he's done. Look at verse 8. Notice the departure. But ye are departed out of the way. You know what he's saying? You're not walking right anymore. Can I ask you tonight? Don't answer aloud. Answer in your heart. Are you walking right tonight? Are we walking in the way of the Lord the right way? The departure. Notice the deterrent. Watch the text now. But ye have departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Dax Heitler, y'all come here. Y'all come here, all right? Come here. Y'all do real good, and Charles will give you $20 after service. Now, he just found out about that, though. I want y'all to stand right behind me, and I want y'all to follow me, okay? Y'all to stay right behind me. If I stop walking, you keep walking, okay? Don't stop walking. You got it? Don't stop walking, all right? Here's what he's saying. Don't worry. Nobody's going to get hurt but y'all. Okay. Grayson, you want to help us? You want to help us? Come on up. Asher, you want to come help me? You want to get here in line? Come here. Lady can come too. You want to come up here, Abigail? Y'all get in line behind me, all right? Y'all get in line. This should be good. Come on up. Y'all get in line behind me, okay? Y'all get in line. Man, I hope you got a lot of $20 bills. Come on, Judah. Well, just throw her out in the aisle there, honey. Get in line. Bring your brownie and get in line. Everybody get in line. All right, we're going to follow the leader, okay? Here's what he's saying. He's saying you're to walk in the way and the people are supposed to follow you. He said, well, because you departed out of the way, you've caused people behind you to stumble. I chose these children for a reason tonight, because they're watching us. They're watching the way we walk. Come on, y'all ready? Y'all walk behind me. Y'all get in line, all right? Y'all get in line. Y'all just keep on walking. They're watching the way we walk. But when we stumble, it's causing them to stumble. When we deter out of the way, it's affecting our children. Thank you. Y'all go sit down. Y'all make sure y'all see Charles. I'm just kidding. He ain't going to give you $20, all right? Y'all go sit down, all right? Y'all back to your seat. Go sit down, Judah. Didn't they do good? Here's my point tonight. That's a weak way to illustrate it. But the point is tonight, we better be careful how we're walking. Because there's others walking behind us. And he said, because you departed out of the way, you've caused many to stumble at my law. You know, we quote that verse in Galatians 5. You did run well. Who did hinder you? That you should not obey the truth. Somebody hindered those Galatians from doing right. I wrote this down. You could be the who. I could be the who tonight. Wouldn't that be awful to know that I hindered somebody's walk with God because of my lack of testimony and my lack of Christianity? I don't ever want Grayson to come up to you and say, why don't Preacher Josh preach no more? Why don't he preach no more? And you have to explain to your son, well, this, this, and this. I don't ever want that to happen. Brother Charles, I don't want Dax or Sight or Jude to say, why don't Charles come to church anymore? Because they see y'all and they know y'all. Why ain't so-and-so here anymore? Why do they not go to church anymore? And I have said, no, they don't. Because you depart out of the way, God said, you're causing others to stumble.
Who are you causing to stumble tonight? Well, ain't nobody following me, preacher. I'm telling you, these little ones watch these bigger ones. It don't matter how young you are, somebody's looking up to you. And moms and dads and church folks, adults here tonight, these children, these young people are watching us. And by the way, we're watching one another, trying to encourage one another. Boy, we got to be careful tonight. The departure, the deterrent. Look on, I'm just about done tonight. The defilement. Verse 8, ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. He said, what was something that was supposed to be pure and righteous? Here's what God said about it. You've made it filthy. You know how many churches tonight are eaten up with adultery and fornication and pornography and envy and jealousy and bitterness and strife and name anything you want to. I mean, it's just an open thing now. And the house of God has been set a place for a place of holiness. But now preachers are drinking liquor. And people, choir members are drinking alcohol. I mean, churches now are even ordaining sodomites to be ministers. The Southern Baptist Convention are split right down the middle over women preachers. They're split over the consumption of alcohol, whether it's okay or not. And this is something that's supposed to be set aside, sacred and holy. And God said, you are corrupting it. I'm thinking of preachers tonight. I know I'm not in a preaching gear, but I believe I'm preaching tonight. I think about preachers in my life that I looked up to. They got in sin. I don't want any names tonight, but how many say, preacher, I know a preacher that got messed up in sin that I looked up to. Hold your hand up. Hold your hand if you know a preacher got messed up in sin. How'd that affect you? Bothered you, especially if you had a lot of confidence in them. And you know what? One of the things I try to keep in my mind is how I felt when that preacher fell. It's no secret. I don't know why this week I've had Brandon Morris on my mind all week long. I don't know why. Some of y'all didn't meet Brandon. Some of you may, some of you old folks would remember Brandon. Brandon preached here. We were buddies. Brandon got off in sin. And I believe God killed Brandon. I believe that's the mercy of God. He wouldn't get right. But I think about all the young people and all the churches that I tell you, God was using that boy. God was using him strong. And I look at the ones left in that wake that were affected by that. Somebody's watching us tonight. Notice the discipline, verse 9. Therefore, that word therefore, when you see it, it's always referring back to what he's been talking about. Therefore, since you've done all these things, here's what God said I'm going to do. I also made you contemptible and base before all the people. According to you have not kept my ways, but am impartial in the law. Jimmy Swaggart, Jim Baker, they're not our stripe tonight, okay? I wasn't born when all that, I was born, I guess, in the early 90s when that blew out. But when all that happened, you know what it done to good preachers? It gave up good preachers a bad name that wasn't even associated with that. The world said, all you preachers are the same, you're just after women and money. That's what they all said. Because of their actions, who we don't even line up with them doctrinally whatsoever. Like none. But because they done that, it affected good men. And you know what God did? God made them contemptible and made them base. They're laughing stocks now. They're laughing stocks. And God said, you continue to go down this road, I'm going to make you a laughing stock in the nation of Israel. Watch this last clause. But it'd been partial in the law. What does that partial in the law mean? It means they were biased. That word partial means biased to one party. These priests were guilty of making exceptions for their friends to try to impress them. They were taking God's law. Does this sound familiar? And said, now we're not going to deal with that because that's going to offend brother so-and-so. And we're not going to deal with that because that's going to make sister so-and-so upset. And we're not going to talk about that because, you know, they give a lot to the temple. And God said, you have just desecrated my house. And there are preachers today that won't preach on sin. Boy, they'll blow out the sins of the nation, but they won't preach on the sins of the congregation. You know why? Because they're partial in the law. Y'all know me tonight. I'm not talking about being rude. I'm not talking about being unkind. I try to be careful how I speak to God's people. I try to be concerned. I want to be bold, but I don't want to be brash. You know what I mean? I want to have Holy Ghost boldness and not arrogance. And I've had a touch of both. Amen. We've all been there. I tell you tonight, it's a serious thing. And God's given a call of repentance. He said, you need to get it right. There's an old hymn in the song book. Is thy heart right with God? And I'm done. Brother Matthew's going to come to the piano.